God's good. There's no question. There's no question. If someone asks you, is God good? Yes. What if you lost everything? Yes, God's still good. See, it's easier said. In practice, it's hard. When the word cancer comes, COVID, you get the knock on your door that a drunk driver has hit a loved one, and they're killed, and the drunk driver's fine. When you see acts of terrorism all around the world. See, we have a world that is asking questions. Maybe you've even had someone ask you, well, if God is really God, and then they'll have a question. Why does he allow this? How come this happens? If your God is so good, explain this to me. The question that Satan brought in Genesis 3 is still being brought even into believers' minds. Did God really say? Is God really looking out for your best interests? You see, what happens is we live and we see and we experience and we feel all these emotions, and sometimes there's a disconnect between the things that we see and the God that we know. We know he's good. He's eternal. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He sees the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He invented time. He is outside of time. But yet we see all these terrible things. Sometimes we see bad, evil people succeeding. We see good, godly people hurting. And it leads to questions. God, how long? Why? So what do we do? What do we do when there's a disconnect between what we know to be true about God and what we see and feel and experience? Some may ask, like the Greek philosopher Epicurus, is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he's malevolent. Is he able and willing? Well, then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? And we have a world around us that asks these questions, and they have no understanding, and they're frustrated. There's Christians here tonight who are frustrated. Maybe you're frustrated because the things you're putting in front of you cause you to be frustrated. If I say purple cow, you just thought of a purple cow. You know why? Because I said it and you heard it. And your perception begins to think of this purple cow. Hey, when you get on Facebook and you scroll down Facebook, you can get frustrated. When you turn on the news, it doesn't matter what channel you go to, you can get frustrated really fast. Because your sight's on the wrong thing. We're going to read Habakkuk. We're not going to read all of it. Habakkuk, if you'll turn there in your Bibles, it's towards the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk was a prophet. The book of Habakkuk is considered a minor prophet, not because he's lesser, but because it's a small book. Habakkuk was written just before the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, came in and took over and took them into captivity. Habakkuk, being a prophet, you'd expect this book to be preaching. Habakkuk crying out to his people and preaching to them. But it's a cry to God. It's a cry to God. We're going to read Habakkuk chapter number 1, starting at verse 1. And then we'll pray. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Let's go to the end, chapter 3, and verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd help us as we study Habakkuk tonight. Lord, that we would move from frustration into faith. Lord, knowing that our faith is in you. Lord, help us as we look at your word, that it would be the focus, and that we would walk away tonight with some steps to take, Lord, to have our faith grow in you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a world where evil prevails, injustice seems to be rewarded, those who live by faith will take comfort in knowing that there is a God in heaven. That God hasn't moved from his throne. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And frustrations that we have should really just point us back to our faithful God. Let's look at these first four verses that we read in our opening. Habakkuk, questions. He brings questions to God. He makes his prayer to God right on the cusp of this captivity that they're going to have. He's looking at Israel. He's looking at these people around him. These Israelites who are not living righteous lives. He gives some of the things that he's seeing. Why are you showing this iniquity to me? Verse 3. Cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me. He's not talking about the Chaldeans. He's talking about God's chosen people. The people who are supposed to be God's chosen people are living ungodly lives. God, how long? How long are you going to allow this to happen? He was looking around and seeing wrong judgment. He says, the people in power are wrong and they're evil. Therefore, judgment never goes forth. Can you see a connection here with maybe some of the things happening that might have you frustrated in our country, around the world, wrong happening? And then you wait and see, well, then something surely will come of this. And nothing ever comes of it. You might get frustrated if you didn't know God. If you didn't know that God sees it. And one day, you see, Habakkuk is looking at his surroundings, the things that he's immediately looking at. And what he's failing to do is trust God. He's asking, how long? How long? What are you going to do about this? Let's look at verse 5. God answers. Surely, he's got some good news for Habakkuk. Verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in our days, in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Oh, good God, you've got a miraculous work that you're going to do. I won't believe it. It's going to be great. Verse 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. Whoa. God, you must have misspoke. Surely you meant to say, I raise up the Israelites to do well and to, surely not the Chaldeans. Oh, yes. I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not there. This is not good news. This is terrible news to Habakkuk. You're telling me you're taking these evil people, these godless people who hate you, hate us, that live terrible lives. You're going to let them come in and take our stuff, take our houses, kill us. That doesn't mesh. God, you're just, you're holy. Let's look at his response. Let's look at Habakkuk's response. Verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine holy one? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore, lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? God, you're holy. You're almighty. How could you keep silent as this wicked, terrible nation comes against the one who is more mighty, more righteous, more upright than he? See, Habakkuk was comparing his self and these children of Israel. Now, we're doing wrong, God, but I mean, we're not the Chaldeans. How are you going to use them? And he was at this impasse. He knew God was almighty and sovereign and good and gracious and pure. But this didn't make sense, that he would use this evil, wicked nation to correct and bring his people to a place of a bent knee to God. The perplexities of knowing that what we know about God and yet seeing what we see can bring us to question, if we know God is good, and he is, and the world is full of evil, which it is, why? How long? For what purpose? Well, we see Habakkuk in chapter 2. He gets in verse number 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me in verse 2. You see, before we can move past this question of why, we need to learn. We need to learn from God. God gives us a clear answer here to Habakkuk that he wants for us today. Let's read verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You need to learn God's purpose. As he was standing on that tower waiting to hear from God, he heard, wait. Wait. Though it may not come right now, it will come. He goes on in chapter 2 to continue these 5 woes that he gives to the Chaldeans. You see, God is not blind. He's not blind. He's not blinded or sugarcoating who the Chaldeans are. He knows exactly who they are. And he gives them 5 woes throughout chapter 2 about their debauchery, their idolatry, the way that they are living their lives, the way that they go and spoil and kill. He's not blind to it. And in fact, he is just. He tells us in verse number 4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. The Chaldean is not just. The Chaldean is not seen as just in my sight. The just shall live by his faith. Faith. It's not found in the good works. It's not found in the way that you live a moral life. It's in your faith. That's why your comparison, Habakkuk, of you comparing yourself to the Chaldeans, you're all unholy, you're all unclean, you're all unable to enter into heaven on your good works. It's by faith. If you go to the end of chapter 2, verse number 20, after God gives these woes to the Chaldeans, warnings, if you don't change your ways, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Just be quiet. You can go through the life of Job, as we did recently. Job lost it all. And then he lost some more. Then he lost some more. And we find, as Job starts to ask questions of God, much like Habakkuk was asking questions, that God showed up and answered. And Job said, that's it. Said nothing. He was quiet. Job got asked some pointed questions. Hey, where were you when I framed the world? Where were you? Sometimes we need to remember. Before we start getting frustrated at all that we're seeing and living a life that's just disquieted and constantly just worried about everything, we need to stop and refocus. Keep silent. And know that God is in his holy temple. And that our foundation is not our sight. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. You see, in order to have understanding, you have to have faith. Everyone who wants to have answers, I want answers. If you can show me from your Bible, if you can show me or tell me why my child died, then I'll believe your God. If you can tell me why I have cancer, or why my wife or husband died of cancer or COVID, or why I'm paralyzed, or why, and you can bring all the complaints and all the wrong, all the injustice that you perceive, and it will not make any sense if you don't have faith in God. That's why the answer is not to send people to some kind of counseling. You just need to change your mind. You just need to be reformed in your mind. No, you need to be regenerated. You need to be made new. You need to have your faith in something other than just a restart. You need to be saved. You need to have your faith not in idols or in yourself, the power of what you can accomplish, but instead your faith in God and his love for you. But what does that look like? What is that? God's not just some ethereal being, just some Holy Spirit that we can kind of sense, and you get all of the charismatic movement, and it's a feeling and it's an emotion. No, God is truth. So what is that truth? As we come back to Habakkuk, and we see in chapter number 3, he hears from God. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. We see chapter 3, a shift. It's a prayer. It's a song. Chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Shigionoth is a psalm of praise with instruments. It's a song. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Oh Lord, revive the work. That's our prayer. God, revive the work. Revive me. Help me have faith in you. Let me not get disquieted and frustrated with what I see and perceive as injustice and wrong. Because I know you're not blind to it. That you have a purpose. And though you tell me, as you've told Habakkuk, I won't believe it. It doesn't seem right, but I know you are just. And I know you've given a promise, and though it tarry, it will come. Habakkuk chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, this prayer and this song is God in wrath. Remember mercy. You know, God heard that prayer. In fact, that was his plan all along. That in wrath, he would in fact remember mercy. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we heard that tonight, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Whose blood? Jesus' blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. You can read through all of chapter 5 and find how through one man sin entered into the world and have passed sin to all men so that we're all sinners. But by one man, we're justified, we're saved. In God's wrath, he remembered mercy on Golgotha, on a hill called Mount Calvary, on the cross. We find that Jesus was the mercy. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus instead of me. In these life situations, even if things go terribly wrong, we should be able to say at the end of all of it, verse 17 of chapter 3, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Do you want to know where joy is found? It's not on Fox News. You'll be frustrated. It's not on CNN. You can go to any network and you won't find joy. You'll find frustration. You won't find joy at Disney World. You'll find an expensive bill and frustration. You won't find joy anywhere except for God and your faith in the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross. If you try to earn your way to heaven, you're just like the Chaldeans, that terrible, wicked nation. You're going to say, but I'm not nearly as bad as they are. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. There's one way. Though it tarry, it will come. Jesus is coming again. He's promised us. Go through the prophets. There is a prophecy of Jesus coming. He's told us, I will come again and receive you to myself. Though it tarry, it will come. You want to know why all these things are happening? Because of mercy. This doesn't make sense. God has given us this space of grace, this space of time to do what chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2, or verse number 2 says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. We're the runners. We're those that are reading, the just shall live by his faith. Though it tarry, it will come. Woe unto you who try to find heaven another way. There is no other way but by faith in Jesus Christ. We have a world that asks questions. Why? How come? How long? What for? It's because you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you about him? Christians of all people, we don't need to live like those who have no faith. We've been promised by God. He is not slack concerning his promises. That he will come again. That wrong will be made right. That injustice will be justly dealt with. And in this time, though we don't understand it, he is working a work in our days that we don't understand, and he wants us to share and run with the good news of the gospel. Frustration with the situation of our life or our circumstances or our world do not or should not have an effect for long periods of time. It should be brief because it should bring us back to remembering our faith is in God. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The world needs to hear about Jesus. They need to learn that it's not about them and what they're doing to earn heaven or get heaven. It's not about the injustice that they perceive, but that God is holy and God is just. And until they understand that it's by faith, they'll never understand. Until they come to a faith in God through Jesus, they'll never understand. We're prone to question, but may those questions draw us back to our faith in a holy, just, awesome God. Is God good? Yes, he is. Let's tell the world that he's good and he loves them. And when they ask, prove it, we point to Jesus. We point to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Lord, for hard truths that we may not always understand, but that we know you. And that our faith is not in our sight, it's not in our comprehension, it's not in our own wisdom, but our faith is in you. Lord, you've told us to go and tell. Lord, help us to do that. And Lord, as we come into contact with people who question, and Lord, maybe even in our own lives, we're questioning things. Why is this happening to me and my family, or to this family that I love? That we would remember our faith is in you, not in the circumstances. And Lord, that it would draw us closer to you. Lord, that we would spend more time in prayer, more time in our Bible, more time in building that faith that we have in you, instead of growing more and more frustrated. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, that in wrath, Lord, you remembered mercy on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.